listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And on this edition, we're going to be looking back at the win over Dundalk in the UEFA Europa League. 6 out of 6 for the Gunners. The perfect group stage campaign. Arsenal now through to the next round. The draw, of course, takes place on Monday. We'll be bringing you coverage of that right here on the Chronicles of Iguna as well. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you turn the notifications on, all that usual jazz, and get involved with the channel. First of all, I want to apologize for not getting this podcast out to you guys last night. Unfortunately, I was feeling a little bit under the weather and I didn't think I would do it justice. So I thought I'd wait until today. For those of you watching on YouTube, if you're wondering why I'm not in the studio, well, I'm on daddy duties today, looking after my son today, and he is currently having a nap. So I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to get this done, get this recorded, get this out there for you guys to enjoy. Don't hesitate to let me know what you think on any of the topics discussed in the comments section too. And without further ado, let's get into that win over Dundalk at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin. Of course, the Aviva Stadium is not usually the home of Dundalk, but due to UEFA regulations, etc., etc., the game was played there, and you know, understandably so. I think obviously when that was done, it was maybe with the intention of getting some supporters in there. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be, etc. But, you know, it is what it is. Pitch wasn't great at the Aviva Stadium, got to say. No rugby fan, but I'm pretty sure that rugby is also played at the Aviva Stadium. The Republic of Ireland play their games there, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. But that would have obviously played a part in that pitch being so bad. And Mikel Arteta spoke about the pitch actually in the lead up to the game. In his pre-match press conference, he was asked why Arsenal hadn't been training on it. And that was the answer. That was the response. It was very much around the fact that the pitch had taken an absolute battering in the last few days. So he felt it not necessarily right for Arsenal to go and train on it and potentially make the situation worse. Let's begin by discussing the starting 11 that Mikel Arteta went with. It was Alex Runar Renarsson in goal. It was a back three of Callum Chambers, Mustafi and Pablo Marie. Cedric Suarez and Ainsley Maitland-Niles were operating from either flank as kind of wing backs. And then you had Joe Willock, Elneny in the middle of the park, Pepe on the one side, Emile Smith-Rowe playing from the left, and Eddie Nketiah was leading the line through the middle. Cottrell, Aziz, Balogun, Ceballos all got on in the game. So we're going to talk about some of their displays as well a little bit later on in the program. But let's start off by kind of running through the starting 11 and what was good and what was bad. Renarsson, very comfortable with his feet. I think we all knew that that was probably one of the main reasons that Arsenal went out and got Renarsson. Not somebody who had a massive reputation, obviously. Somebody who's been playing his football in the French Ligue 1, but not even for one of the kind of standout big sides. So for him to kind of come to the club, I think was a little bit of a surprise. I think we've learned very quickly that actually it's his ability with his feet that is what probably tempted Mikel and his team into going after him, given the price he was available at. And they saw him as somebody who was capable of replacing Emi Martinez as Bernd Leno's deputy. I thought handling wise, he wasn't great. Few issues with Renarsson, but again, you know, he's played very little football for Arsenal. He's had a few games in the Europa League. But it's very clear that he is one of these modern day goalkeepers, if you want to call them that, where kind of playing with their feet is just as important as what they do with their hands. And we've seen the good sides of Renarsson, but I think we're starting to probably realize that actually, not that I ever thought this, but actually he's probably not a top draw goalkeeper. And we're just going to kind of have to live with that and hope that Bernd Leno stays fit for the majority of the season. Great to see Callum Chambers back in the fold. Of course, he's been out for a long time, made an appearance in the game against Rapid Vienna at the Emirates Stadium last week. Started this one, did okay. It's all about fitness for Callum Chambers at the moment. We all know what Callum Chambers is all about. We all know that he's somebody who can provide sufficient cover, I think, in the centre-back positions. He's also got that versatility about him where he can play at right-back if you desperately need him to. There's been talk about him in the past playing as a defensive midfielder. Could he offer that as well? I think Callum is a good player to have around the squad. Good to see him back. And of course, Pablo Marie, another one still on the road to full recovery. He's obviously played in the game against Rapid Vienna, got 90 minutes under his belt that night. It was 90 minutes off the top of my head. He got a fair amount of time. He got a fair amount of time last night as well. So Pablo Marie is slowly playing his way back to match fitness and will be an option for Mikel Arteta in the central defensive positions moving forward, you would think. In the midfield, Joe Willock and Mohamed Elneny, both of whom got on the score sheet. Joe Willock did really well to take his goal. I think it was Balogun who backed into the player, laid it off to him. And he done a lovely little sort of shimmy to the right. And then the keeper probably should have saved it, but it doesn't really matter. Still, Joe Willock, once again, showing that he can get in the right place at the right time. And that's obviously key for somebody that plays in that position, a midfielder who we're desperately crying out for, someone to get into those box spaces, someone to do a little bit of an Aaron Ramsey. And that's what Willock does. Is he good enough to do it at Premier League level? I'm still not 100% sure on that. Recent evidence will suggest probably not, but in the Europa League, he's been pretty good. And again, you've got to take into consideration the level of the opposition. But of course, Joe Willock continues to make a case for starting in the Premier League. Cedric played at right wing back. I thought he did pretty well, Cedric. Really energetic, obviously gives us a little bit of something in terms of his ability to put good deliveries into the box. A decent set piece taker as well is the Portuguese fullback. So pretty pleased with his performance. Ainsley Maitland-Niles does exactly what it says on the tin. Very solid at left wing back. Also got forward really well. And I thought linked up with Emile Smith-Rowe on Arsenal's left really, really well. Emile Smith-Rowe playing from the left, it's not his natural position. And Mikel Arteta alluded to that in the post-match press conference. He spoke about the fact that actually, although Emile Smith-Rowe did well and looked very dangerous in certain positions, he is not a left winger. But I thought his link-up play was great. Obviously, he got involved in a couple of the goals. In particular, the one for Mohamed Elneny, moved the ball really, really well. Emile Smith-Rowe, always looking to shift it quickly. Very skillful footballer. We've all spoken about the talent that Emile Smith-Rowe has many, many times. But now, Emile Smith-Rowe needs to stay fit. That is the key. Because if he does, I have no doubt that he will go on to be a real, real asset to this Arsenal team for years to come. But he's got to stay fit. And that's kind of the key now. Decent to see him get some more minutes under his belt and we move forward. Of course, Eddie Nketiah started the game up top. He got a goal. It was a nice little neat finish from Eddie Nketiah. And what I enjoyed about Nketiah's performance was his willingness to shut people down. The back three of Dundalk were, trying to play out from the back. Credit to them. But I thought Eddie Nketiah and Smith Rowe in particular, and probably Nicolas Pepe as well, maybe not as much, but they pressed those guys really, really well in those positions and won the ball back higher up the pitch on a number of occasions, which I'm sure is something that Mikel is looking for from his team, something that he probably hasn't seen often enough just yet. And then, of course, Nicolas Pepe, he played from the right-hand side. He didn't have a bad game, Pepe, and he was involved in the goal that Balogun scored when he came on. But I still want to see more from Pepe, particularly at this level. I still want to see more in terms of outputs because I just feel like this level should, in theory, be below him. So you want to see him being a standout player. Look, he wasn't bad yesterday, I didn't think. I've seen a few people say that he was terrible. I don't think he was terrible, but equally, I don't think it was a particularly good performance from Nicolas Pepe. So, a little bit disappointed with him on the night overall. Anyway, the man who stole all the highlights though was of course, or all the headlines I should say, was following Balogun. He came on, got a goal, provided an assist. I thought he was really, really good. And for me, he just showed, you know, Balogun just showed a little bit more of being a complete striker. He showed a little bit that he's got a little bit more in his locker than somebody like Eddie Nketiah has. He's able to back into people, hold the ball up. He's got good strength. He takes up the right positions. When the ball falls to him in those dangerous positions, he's lethal. I just think that Balogun is a player that Arsenal really have to, you know, convince now that they want to keep him and convince him that he's part of the future. A bit like they did with Bukayo Saka in the summer, and the fact that obviously that kind of love and sort of inclusion led to Bukayo Saka signing a new contract. And I think they need to show that same warmth, that same faith in Balogun, because he looks a really talented player. But of course, his contract is coming very close to the end. We know that it's getting worryingly close to the end. End of the season, it expires. And of course, in January, that would make him free to discuss his future with clubs abroad. So it's a real must for Arsenal, I think, to get this guy tied down. I've really been impressed by what I've seen of him. People are calling for him to start in the Premier League. Maybe not sure about that yet, but I certainly think he warrants a place in the squad. I think that maybe you would argue Eddie Nketiah is slightly ahead of him in terms of his kind of progress now. And of course, Eddie Nketiah is currently Arsenal's top goal scorer. But in the longer term future, I do genuinely think that Balogun's ceiling is a lot higher, and Arsenal need to make moves to make sure that this guy is going to stay at the club and be at the club for a lot longer. Mikel Arteta encouragingly said in his press conference that he's told him that he wants to stay at the club and that talks are ongoing, but an agreement needs to be reached. And with Arsenal, you're never certain until that official announcement comes. So fingers crossed they get that done sooner rather than later. Don't forget, if you're watching us live at the moment, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. If you're watching via YouTube, if you are listening via the podcast, make sure you leave us a review. I've been set a task to hit 50 reviews by the end of the year. We've only got 40 at the moment on the Apple Podcast thing. So if you are listening via that channel, please, please do leave us a review. You know how many stars to leave. Can't be anything less than 5. So do that, get that done. And that really, really helps us. One other thing that I wanted to quickly touch upon, because, you know, obviously there were some encouraging displays yesterday. Ultimately, this game was a dead rubber. So I don't want to kind of read into certain situations too much. I don't want to make a massive deal out of certain performances, because again, as I've said earlier in the show, you have to take into consideration the level of the opposition. But one of the things I wanted to touch on was Mikel Arteta's pre-match press conference, and it was James Benge who asked him a question about sort of crosses, and he said he said to Mikel, is that how you want your team to play, putting in less crosses and being a little bit more direct? And Mikel just bluntly answered it with yes. And the following journalist, Charles Watts, who's excellent as well, he came into the conversation and he said, just, you know, elaborate on what you meant by that. That's the way you want to see your team play. And Mikel Arteta got a little bit spiky, a little bit prickly. He said, I just said that because I don't really want to get into it. I could see where that was going, kind of thing. So Mikel suggesting that it was a loaded question, suggesting that the journalists were trying to lead him down a path he didn't want to go down and were trying to make a point about Arsenal's playing style at the moment. He also said that he could see his colleagues laughing. So talking about the other journalists, Mikel said that he could see them laughing on the Zoom call as if, you know, they knew where it was going. I'm not sure it was intended that way. And I've been very fortunate to talk to James on a number of occasions. Don't know Charles, although I follow his work, don't know him. But I know that James wouldn't have been looking to draw Mikel Arteta out into, you know, a bit of that kind of uncomfortable conversation. If James asked it, it was because he genuinely wanted to know the answer to the question. And it's a question that a lot of Arsenal fans would have probably put to Mikel, given the opportunity as well. But I just thought Mikel's reaction was interesting, and it probably suggests that actually he's feeling a little bit under pressure and has maybe been paying a little bit more attention to the kind of things that have been written and said about Arsenal since the North London derby than maybe we would have thought. So I just thought that was interesting, and a really interesting aspect of the post-match press conference. What's going to be even more interesting is to see how many of these players are going to be sort of considered for Sunday's game against Burnley. It's that dreaded 7:15 on a Sunday kickoff, which I absolutely hate. The results we've got during it have been dreadful as well. So I'm not particularly looking forward to this game. And we know exactly what Burnley are going to do. They're going to make it difficult for us. I think everybody can expect that. But yeah, you know, I thought the press conference was interesting, and I think it will be interesting to see whether somebody like Smith Rowe, somebody like Balogun, has done enough to warrant a place at least in the squad for Sunday. It'll be interesting because at some point, if the results continue the way they are, already they've gone on too long, but at some point you feel like Mikel has to change something. What is it going to be and when is it going to be, I guess, are the golden questions. So we're going to have to wait and see on that and try and make sense of it on Sunday when the team is announced for that one. Right, let's have a look at what some of you guys are saying in the live chat. Big hello to Omar, to True Gunnar, to Daniel, who says, Balogun has a lot more about him than Eddie. He should be given his chances now. Yeah, as I've already said, I think Balogun offers a lot more in terms of his overall game. I feel like Balogun is somebody with a higher ceiling than Eddie Nketiah. I feel like he gives you that sort of predatory instinct inside the penalty area that Eddie does, to be fair, but he also gives you the ability to hold up the ball. He looks as though he's got a little bit more footballing intelligence, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Eddie Nketiah. I just feel like in the brief sort of spells and cameos I've seen Fuller and Balogun have, I just feel like he's the more complete striker. And it's imperative, absolutely imperative, that Arsenal tie him down to a new contract. Because as I've already said, he is free to leave in the summer and he is free to start negotiating with overseas clubs from January. This boy is a huge talent and Arsenal need to, absolutely need to tie him down. Let's move on to Xander's comment. He says, afternoon, Harry. Really impressed with Smith Rowe. Consistently looking for forward passes, spaces to dribble into, deserves Premier League minutes. Yeah, and I think that you'll probably get those. He'll probably get those, sorry, when he proves his fitness a little bit more. As I've said earlier on, fitness has been the major issue for Emile Smith Rowe. I don't think Mikel Arteta has ever had any doubts about the player's talent, the player's ability and about what he could bring to the side, but it's about keeping him fit. And, you know, he's had some troubles of late and he's got to prove to Mikel now that he is ready to compete for a place in the first team, I guess. True Gunnar says, I know Balogun will get all the plaudits and hype for his goal, and rightly so, but Aziz looked unbelievable. Calm, cool, composed, picked up excellent positions and has vision and athleticism. Absolutely. Miguel Aziz came on, I think with around about 9-10 minutes to go, showed some really tidy touches, really nice spins into good areas. His passing was good, carries himself really well. He's one to be keeping an eye on. But again, well, I guess I'd say he's probably a little bit behind in terms of where Balogun are and Smith Rowe are in terms of pushing for a place in the squad. So, yeah, really encouraging again to see one of the Arsenal youngsters sort of coming on the European stage, albeit against Dundalk, but actually giving a really good impression of himself. Big hello to Louis Robson. He says, I'm so sick of these late kickoffs. We get why always us, referring to, of course, that game against Burnley. I feel the same, mate. If you're working on the game, you'd love it to be earlier, just so you could be finished that bit earlier on a Sunday night. And then hopefully if the result, it doesn't go your way, you've kind of calmed down a little bit before you go to bed, instead of going to bed at like 11, 12 o'clock and kind of lying there and having all these different scenarios running through your head and stuff. So, yeah. Chris Pantelli says, hi, Harry. Martinelli, Balogun, Smith Rowe, Saka, Aziz are just some of the youngsters that may just make it at Arsenal. Agree. Ekene Ogbodo says, as a Nigerian, I feel so bad when you guys call him Balogun deliberately rather than Balogun. So is it Balogun? Is it Balogun? Is it when I say Balogun, I say it as I'm reading it. And I apologize if it's wrong. I'd be keen for you to let me know how it's pronounced properly. Balogun. Is it Balogun then, rather than Balogun? I guess it's Balogun. But let me know in the comments. I'd be more than happy to correct myself, mate. Always looking to learn. That's genuinely how I was reading it. What else have we got here? Just having a look through some of your comments. Let's see what we've got here. Big hello to Tommy O'Donoghue, and big hello to Tom, who asks, where is it? I've just lost it. My screen's bloody gone. Where is it? Apologies, it wasn't Tom, it was Xander. He says, would you loan Nketiah in January and allow Balogun the second half of the season? I don't know. I would certainly have Balogun in my thoughts, in my setup. I'd certainly be considering bringing him in. Look, I don't think it's really worked for Eddie Nketiah, and I think Eddie Nketiah is not really pulled up any trees apart from kind of in the Europa League where the opposition's been really substandard. I don't think that Alexander Lacazette's been great this season. So to dismiss Balogun at this point, I think would be wrong. So I don't want to see Arsenal do that. I want to see him involved, but I'm also cautious about him being thrown in to start Premier League games, for example, like some people are suggesting. I still feel as though that is a little bit premature, if I'm completely honest. Right, that brings me to the end of this post-Dundalk Arsenal reaction podcast. Again, sorry it's a little bit late, but yeah, wasn't feeling too great last night. Still aren't, to be honest, but better than I was. So glad to have been able to get this done and share it with you guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review if you're listening via the audio platforms. We'll be back later on with a transfer update edition. Of course, the January transfer window is just around the corner, so stay tuned for that. It'll be premiering on the channel later, so keep your eyes posted for that. Until then, take care.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.